వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ టు ద మార్నింగ్ భాగవతం క్లాస్. టుడే వీ హ్యావ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ నెంబర్ 27 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ డీటీ వర్షిప్. టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 24 ఫర్ డిస్కషన్ టుడే. కైండ్లీ రిపీట్ ఆఫ్టర్ మీ. తయాత్మభూతయా పిండే వ్యాప్తే సంపూజ్య తన్మయా ఆవాహ్యార్చాదిషు స్థాప్య న్యస్తాంగం మాం ప్రపూజయేత్. తయాత్మభూతయా పిండే వ్యాప్తే సంపూజ్య తన్మయా ఆవాహ్యార్చాదిషు స్థాప్య న్యస్తాంగం మాం ప్రపూజయేత్. తయాత్మభూతయా పిండే వ్యాప్తే సంపూజ్య తన్మయః ఆవాహ్యార్చాదిషు స్థాప్య న్యస్తాంగం మాం ప్రపూజయేత్. న్యస్తాంగం మాం ప్రపూజయేత్. పిండే వ్యాప్తే సంపూజ్య తన్మయః ఆవాహ్యార్చాదిషు స్థాప్య న్యస్తాంగం మాం ప్రపూజయేత్. తయాత్మభూతయా పిండే వ్యాప్తే సంపూజ్య తన్మయః ఆవాహ్యార్చాదిషు స్థాప్య న్యస్తాంగం మాం ప్రపూజయేత్. మదజీస్. తయాత్మభూతయా పిండే వ్యాప్తే సంపూజ్య తన్మయః ఆవాహ్యార్చాదిషు స్థాప్య న్యస్తాంగం మాం ప్రపూజయేత్. విల్ సీ వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై ద హంబల్ డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. తయా by that form meditated upon, by that form meditated upon, atmabhutaya conceived of according to one's own realization, conceived of according to one's own realization, pinde in the physical body, vyapte which has become pervaded, sampujya perfectly worshipping that form, tanmayah surcharged by his presence, avahya inviting, archa adishu within the various deities being worshipped, sthapya establishing him, nyastangam having touched the deity's various limbs, with the chanting of appropriate mantras. Having touched the deity's various limbs with the chanting of appropriate mantras. Mam tumi prapujayet. He should carry out all the details of worship. He should carry out all the details of worship. Translation. The devotee conceives of the super soul whose presence surcharges the devotee's body in the form corresponding to his realization. Thus the devotee worships the Lord to his full capacity and becomes fully absorbed in him. By touching the various limbs of the deity and chanting appropriate mantras, the devotee should invite the super soul to join the deity's form, and then the devotee should worship me. Purport. The body of a devotee is pervaded by the super soul just as a house is pervaded by the glow of a lamp. Just as one gestures in a friendly way to indicate that a guest should enter one's house, one touches the body of the deity, chants appropriate mantras, and enthusiastically invites the super soul to enter the form of the deity. Since both the deity and the super soul are the supreme personality of Godhead, they are not different. One form of the Lord can immediately become manifest in another. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We request the blessings of all the devotees so that we can speak on this very important topic of how deity worship is not just a ritual where the body is involved, but also where the mind is also involved. It's a meditation. So here there was a reference that because the Supreme Lord in the heart, the super soul, the Paramatma, and the form of the Lord outside are not different from each other, so they can take each other's forms. So Dhruv Maharaj, when he is doing tapasya, after 6 months of intense tapasya, the Paramatma is visible in his heart. He's there already in all of our hearts, but many times because of the covering of our anarthas, we cannot easily perceive the Paramatma. So then there is tapasya required. So Dhruva Maharaj, after he has succeeded in his tapasya, he sees the form of the Lord in his heart. And then the form of the Lord in the heart vanishes. And then what happens? That same form of the Lord that was visible in the heart comes in front of him. And then in Madhavendra Puri's story, we see that the Supreme Lord first appeared in an external form. There is a small child who comes with a pot of milk. My dear Madhavendra Puri, please take this milk. And Madhavendra Puri accepts it. And then as he wants to thank him, he sees that the Lord has vanished. That boy has vanished. And he is wondering, oh, where did the boy immediately leave? And then after some time, the same boy who had come to him with a pot of milk externally appears in his vision at night and tells him, Madhavendra Puri, please come with me. And takes his hand and guides him to a place and says, actually, I am buried in this place. So then Madhavendra Puri realizes, Krishna first appeared externally and now in a vision he is telling me, my murti form, Srinathji, that is being worshipped in Nathadwara, is there in this place and please take me out, I want to be served by you. So sometimes we wonder, so where is the Lord? Is he inside the heart? Is he outside? No, he is everywhere. Bahir Narasimha, Ridaye Narasimha, Yato Yato Yami, Tato Narasimha, Ito Narasimha, Parato Narasimha. Narasimha is everywhere. He is inside, he is outside, he is here, he is there, he is in the pillar, he is outside the pillar, he is in my heart. So, how nice it is that all of us are being given this knowledge. How nice it is that we are being requested to endeavor to invite the greatest person, the most powerful person, but we are being told that most powerful person is willing to come to your heart, is willing to come to your home if you have some preparedness, if you are willing to do some preparation, you can invite the most powerful person. Lord Brahma in the beginning of the 10th canto is being urged by the devatas, who are being urged by Bhumi Devi. And she is saying there are so many cruel kings on earth right now and they are causing so much trouble to others, the animals and the human beings. So she approaches the demigods. The demigods say, we can't handle kings like Kamsa, Jarasandha. They are too much for us. So let us go to Brahmaji. And what does Brahmaji do? Along with Lord Shiva, they pray on the shore of the milk ocean. They cannot see Vishnu. But they know this is Kshir Sagar and Lord Vishnu is there inside. So they offer their prayers. And Lord Vishnu also responds by a message in the heart of Lord Brahma. He does not appear. Please, if you wish to serve me, you can also appear in the Yadu dynasty. I am going to appear in Yadu dynasty and I'll do the needful. So the Lord Vishnu, who's not even visible to Lord Brahma, to all the demigods, and the source of that Lord Vishnu is Lord Krishna, and he is right here in front of us, playing his flute and attracting all of us. So if this science of deity worship is not revealed to us, can you imagine how difficult it is for us to keep faith in the information that the Supreme Lord exists? But you keep on praying. Neither we have the culture like Dhruv Maharaj, neither we have somebody like Suniti, who had so much faith even after being exploited, neglected throughout her life. But she has faith in the Supreme Lord. She is telling Dhruva, I am one mother and one mother gives some love to the child. If you approach Krishna, if you approach the Supreme Lord can give you the love and affection of a million mothers. What does it take for a mother to speak this sentence to her child? I can give you some affection, but Krishna can give you the affection of millions of mothers. So these mothers are rare in today's world. So neither we have that kind of training from our family members, neither we are that pure. But there is one help available for all of us. That is the science of deity worship. 11th canto, chapter number 27. If at all you get time and you have the Bhagavatam with you, please open this chapter and try to understand how the most elevated acharyas had their deities. So two Sundays back, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj spoke to us how Shankaracharya worshipped a deity, Madhvacharya worshipped deity, Ramanujacharya worshipped deities. So he was making a point, deity worship is not for neophytes. Not just for neophytes. Somebody will say, oh, deity worship is for those who cannot see the Lord. No. All these acharyas carried with them Krishna in their heart, but they also worshipped the deities. It means they are giving us a message. It is not just for the neophytes, but yes, it is a process that could also apply to the neophytes. So here are the greatest acharyas who are worshipping the deities as an expression of their love for the deities and setting a wonderful example for the common masses. And the same deities are also accessible to the most faithless person who walks into the temple and he sees this beautiful form of the Lord and says, he's really beautiful. He's really attractive. So how an all-encompassing is the deity? From the highest meditators to somebody like Dhruv Maharaj, to somebody like Ambarish Maharaj who would worship the deities, pure at heart, to somebody who's completely faithless, and when they come into the temple, I've seen some Westerners coming into the temple, and they don't know deity worship. They don't have forms in churches, mosques, synagogues, and all that. So Vedic culture is the only culture where they make it so accessible to the common masses. So I've seen Westerners coming here, clicking photographs of the ceiling, clicking photographs of all the paintings on the wall, clicking photographs of this asana also, beautiful seat. And at the end, they understand probably all these arrangements are kept because he stays here. And then the last person, you know, they look at each other, should I not? And then they click pictures of the deity. It means, why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning this that they do not have faith in the deity. But they have a lot of faith in the engraving and the paintings and the beautiful, you know, golden, all the different things that are there to make decorations. But being affected by all these decorations, finally they feel, I guess he is the person who is being worshipped by all these arrangements. So let us click a picture of him also. So from the greatest faith to those who don't have faith, the deity is so merciful that he is making himself available to all of us. One time I was doing deity dressing of Shishirada Gopijan Vallabh, the small deities. And if you see at them, so the one hand that holds the flute is like this. Yes, Gopijan Vallabh. And then one hand is like this. So all the other pujaris, they do dressing of one deity. One pujari dresses Gopinath, one pujari dresses Srimati Radharani, and like that, yes. Now small deities means they have to be bathed, they have to be polished every day, they shine. So Radha Gopijan Vallabh, you know, they always take more time. You're always short of time. The pujari is always short of time. So at one point of time, there was just 2 minutes left, and I had applied finger rings to these four fingers of the hand that is visible to the people, to the darshan takers. And then there is a hand like this on the flute. There is also holding the flute. But the rings here may not be visible to people. Yes. And then I thought I should put more flowers on the turban. So now I have a choice. Should I decorate the turban of Gopijan Vallabh more with a few more flowers so that people can take very beautiful darshan? So log bolenge, are kya achha banaya dressing apne. Or I follow the rules of deity worship and I don't half dress the deities. Do you know of any one person, when he puts fingers, when he puts rings on his fingers, he just puts rings on one of the hands and does not put on the other hand? It looks strange. Do you know anybody who puts earrings only on one ear and neglects the other? So I had to think, you know, am I doing deity worship or am I doing doll worship, doll decoration? So then I realized it's not about what is visible only. I'm not doing dressing. Yes, there is some element of pleasure of those who take darshan, but the main person, whom are we worshipping? Gopijan Vallabh. So how will it look to Gopijan Vallabh? You spend time decorating me so that people will see my beautiful darshan. What about the rings on this hand? No rings. Either unguti hai or either anguti nahi hai. So then I said, let me put less flowers, but let me put rings here, which are not visible to any of the people who are taking darshan, but they are visible to two personalities. Gopijan Vallabh definitely, and also Radharani. Radharani says, oh, you are not doing doll decoration. You are not dressing your false ego. You are dressing my master. Is it not? So you have to be very careful when we do deity worship. There is always a tendency to make a show to people who are taking darshan. But we should understand he is a person there. Yes. One time in my beginning days of deity worship, I was addressing the deities Gopalji, and then I put Payal, he has an ankle bell, and I just put it there, yes, and I didn't stick it. The Payals that we have here, you know, the foot, the lower part of the foot of Gopalji is quite big. So very rarely, you know, there are some ankle bells that actually go around the foot of Gopalji and you can actually tie them. So most of the times they fall short. That's how Gopalji is. So then I took that pile and I kept it there. And I did not stick it. With tag, you have to stick it to the foot of Gopalji. I didn't do it, and later I asked, you know, is this the right way that I just keep it there? And I was told by senior pujari, if you are dressing some boy or some girl, maybe some drama, maybe some dance competition, will you just put it around the leg? And when you put it around the leg, when the dance starts or when the boy or the girl starts walking, will not the ankle bells come off? So then I realized, to me, Gopalji is still. Gopalji does not move the whole day. So I felt, if I keep it there, it stays there till the evening dressing. But then I realized that's not the point. The point is, I am not treating the deity as a person. I am treating the deity as a statue. So, payal to rakh diya maine. Samne se to dikhta hai. Somebody who takes darshan, he sees the payal there. But will the payal stay there? Or will the payal come off when Gopalji walks? So, we understand, the more we come to know of the glories of the deity, the more we start treating him like a person. And the more we start treating him like a person, the more he reveals himself as a person. And I'm sure so many others who do regular deity worship have their own stories. One time, there is a story about how in one temple, there were many deities. Sometimes you go to these modern temples, there is a Ganesha deity, and there is a Durga deity, and there is Ramchandra's deity, and there is Krishna's deity. So one time there was a temple where there was Ganesha's deity, and next to him was Lord Vishnu standing. And this person, a typical Hindu, he does not understand who is who. For him, everyone is equal. So one time somebody said, why do you differentiate? Everyone is equal. So I said, Shiva is equal to Ganesh, right? Then, yes, Shiva is equal to Ganesh. But I said, you know, your own logic, Shiva is the father of Ganesh. So how is Shiva equal to Ganesh? Can Ganesh take the position of Shiva? Can Shiva take the position of Ganesh? If you ask Ganesh, should I worship Shiva first or should I worship you first? What will Ganesh say? Of course you worship my father first. You do worship me. I don't have any issues with that. But yes, there is a precedence, is it not? So this whole concept of everyone is equal, that's not the right concept. So this person is so attached to Ganesh, he says, you know, I know these worshippers who come to worship Vishnu and they keep talking about how Ganesh wrote the Mahabharat, and in that Mahabharat is the Gita. So Ganesh wrote the Gita, and when Ganesh wrote the Gita, he said that ye, those who worship the demigods, yajante avidhipurvakam. So Krishna mentions in the Gita, those who worship the demigods, they are worshipping mam eva, but yajante avidhipurvakam. They are not following the proper vidhi. And then we explain how Ganesh is the person who wrote it. So Ganesh is writing, those who worship me are worshipping avidhi purvakam. So why would he write something that he himself does not believe in? So then he knows, you know, these Vaishnavas, they have nice reference from the scriptures, and they always say how there's a hierarchy, and we worship everyone, we respect everyone, but heart is only for Vishnu. Love is only for Krishna. So then he was having these kind of doubts against those who worship Vishnu, and he didn't want to worship Vishnu. So he brought one incense stick and he offered it to Ganesh. And after he offered it to Ganesh, he saw that the incense, you know, it goes in the air, and some of that incense was going in the direction of Lord Ganesha's nostrils, and some of that incense was also going in the direction of Lord Vishnu. Depends on the wind, right? So what did he do? He said, Lord Vishnu is not supposed to take this incense. This incense is meant for my Lord Ganesh. So he puts his hand on the nostrils of Lord Vishnu. You don't inhale this incense. And you know what happened? Lord Vishnu smiled. Hey, why are you smiling? I'm kind of restricting you. So why are you happy? He said, after a long, long time, somebody is treating me like a person. So all this time, so many worshippers come. They're so impersonal with me. They just keep some diya. They just keep some tulsi leaves. They put some apples or some fruits and just walk off. They don't see me like a person. First time you are blocking my nostrils, it means you know I am smelling it. It means you are seeing me like a person. It means you are seeing me not like a stone. That is such a big advancement. So here was a person who was thinking, am I against Vishnu? But Vishnu is saying, you have started treating the deity like a person. That's what matters. That's what is important more than anything else. So here, you know, I was remembering how His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj one time was passing by the deity room and there were some repairs going on. And the pujari, when he was carrying out the repairs, like we have repairs going on now. So he had a ladder on which he wanted to climb, and that ladder was reclining against the altar. And Maharaj happened to pass by, and he went ahead, and then he came back and he said, Prabhu, this ladder cannot lean against the altar. So why not? Maharaj explained, this altar is Lord Balaram. Is an expansion of Lord Balaram. So whatever is used in service to Lord Krishna is an expansion of Lord Balaram. It's not wood. Just like the deity is not stone, the altar is not wood. So you cannot use Lord Balaram to climb and do everything. So anytime you come, when there's some repairs going on, you'll see a ladder there. Sometimes the lights need to be replaced or something, and you'll see a ladder. Now the ladder is the two-way ladder, you know, inverted V-shaped ladder, which supports itself. The ladder is not supposed to rest against the altar. And that's why even for dressing the deities, when somebody climbs on the altar, you need to climb, you put a towel there so that your feet do not touch the altar, which is actually a resting place of Lord Krishna, which is not different from Lord Balaram. How many of you have been to GEV? So when you go to GEV now, there is very beautiful Govardhan. Giridhari is there near the Govardhan mountain. So when that Govardhan reached GEV, I remember that day, so all of us were waiting for Govardhan to come to GEV, and then he came, Vishwaroop Prabhu brought him, and then there was a tray that was kept, a wooden tray, and then Govardhanji was transferred on that tray, and from the entrance of GEV, on that tray, Govardhanji was brought inside to the place where he was going to be then performed Abhishek upon. So the pujari who was supposed to worship Govardhanji, I won't purposefully take his name, he was also there to receive, because he's the main pujari who was going to worship. And when Govardhanji was put on the wooden platform, you know, it was heavy. The platform was heavy. So this pujari said, he's looking at Govardhan and saying, it is heavy. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was right next to him. Radhanath Maharaj said, he is heavy. So there's emphasis on the word he. So he's not a stone. We say Govardhan Shila, sometimes it comes out like that, and in practical purposes, that's how we refer to the deity. But it is not heavy. Govardhan is not it. Govardhan is he. So again and again, our acharyas and senior devotees keep reminding us, please believe in the words of the scriptures and please start seeing the deity, perceiving the deity as a person. It means we have to be aware of the person's presence. It means while doing dressing, we try to speak minimum. Just yesterday I was reading a quote by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Maharaj was saying, there is a saying in English which is called, silence is golden. Heard this saying in English? Silence is golden. And Maharaj said, the purport of this line is, we keep silent and speak only about the golden avatar. So use your mouth for either one gold, that is silence is golden, and another is you speak about the golden avatar. So I was thinking, it means when we are dressing the deities, we could be in front of Gopinath, we could be in front of Gauranitai. But if at all you have to speak, you should speak about, give me something to dress the deities. We don't talk about other things that can be discussed later, even after the dressing. So I was reading a book by His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, and he raised a question in one of his books. He's saying, is Krishna omniscient? Vedaham samatitani, vartamanani cha Arjuna, bhavishyani cha bhutani. I know everything, past, present and future. So is Krishna omniscient? Yes. So he raises a question in one of his books. He says, so should we pray to the deities? And one essential component of a sincere prayer is you express your heart to the deities. So my dear Gopinath, my dear Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord Nityanand, just today morning I had this thought in my mind and I feel it's not a good thought. Can you please help me? Can you please give me guidance? So in one sense you are informing the deity. But Krishna is omniscient. And just now we were speaking how Krishna is not different from the deity. It means this deity is omniscient. So does Gopinath know what happened in your life yesterday? Does Gopinath know what happened in your life just today morning when you felt bad, when you felt insulted? Yes. So then the question comes, how will you make sense out of informing somebody something that he already is aware of, something that he already knows? So very nice point Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj mentions. He says, yes, deity as God knows everything about everyone as mentioned in the 15th chapter of the Gita. Nevertheless, if you feel the Supreme Lord is a person and He is related to you, you want to form a relationship with Him, it is your duty to reveal your thoughts to the deity. Just like a close friend who may be a... I'm just giving an example that comes to my mind offhand. We have one of our brahmacharis who's in charge of the security system of the temple. So you see all the security cameras, they go to one control room. And sometimes this brahmachari is sitting there monitoring the security of the temple. So does he know what is happening right now in the deity room? Does he know what is happening right now in the ashram? There are cameras there. Yes? Nevertheless, if he's one of your friends and something goes wrong, you catch him in the afternoon time and say, my dear Prabhu, I want to share with you something. Today you know what happened? In the morning I had kept my bead bag there and somebody mistakenly took that bead bag. And then I was searching for the bead bag and for a good amount of time I was thinking I lost my initiated beads and I was really in deep pain. Yes? So he already knows it, right? In that sense, he has all the recordings and probably he was there sitting there and he sees you kept your bead bag and somebody else took that bead bag. But when you speak your heart to him, what happens? There is a relationship that is formed at a much deeper level. Here is a person who is confiding his heart in me. Why would you confide your heart into somebody? Do you confide your heart with anybody and everybody? No. We confide our heart in somebody whom we trust. We confide our heart in somebody on whom we have this expectation of confidentiality. I am speaking to him, he won't speak to somebody else. It stays there. So when we reveal our heart to the deity, what happens is, we are making a gesture to the deity. I trust you, I have full faith in your confidentiality, and I also have faith in your power, in your affection, or in your goodness, that you will help me in the best possible way. If there is something that needs correction in me, you won't respond to my prayers. That is also part of your trust. I'm praying to you, please do this, please do this, please do this. Teach this devotee something. He does not know how to talk to me. And there's no change. You know what it means? It means it is a desire of Gopinath that some purification is yet to happen in our heart. And that's why there is a vehicle. There is an instrument being used by Gopinath for doing the needful. So when we confide our heart to the deity, it's not to say that the deity does not know before we spoke our heart to the deity. Deity is in the heart. He knows it. But still we express our heart to tell the deity, I trust you, you have the highest intelligence. One of the classes one devotee was mentioning, many times we have faith in Krishna's power and we have faith in our intelligence. So we tell God, do this, this and this. You have lot of shakti, but I have the right buddhi. Yes. Whereas the Gita mentions, we should have faith in Krishna's buddhi and Krishna has some faith in our shakti. So Krishna is supposed to guide us and we should do seva to him. Right? That's what Arjuna is expected to do in the Mahabharata war. So Krishna tells him, shoot. And then Arjuna should use his power to shoot. We are doing opposite of what Arjuna is expected to do, that we tell Krishna, you do this, this and this, and I'll tell you what to do. So sometimes, you know, confiding your heart into deity is opposite of what we are trying to do and is matching with what Arjuna does. Arjuna is saying, I'll tell you what is happening, you tell me what to do. So that is why personal prayers are an integral part of devotional service. One time His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, this long many years back, he was here, senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And because he stays in Vrindavan, he revealed, I would like to share with all of you, he's speaking, who's the best counselor in Vrindavan? All of us are in need of counseling. So he said, the best counselor in Vrindavan is Lord Balaram. So many of us who are residents of Vrindavan, he said, whenever we have a problem, we go to Lord Balaram and we reveal our heart to him. I said, Lord Balaram is so nice, he's so helpful, he's so compassionate and also he's so powerful. Balaram. He says, he helps in the best possible way. So there are so many cases where devotees are urging us to go and reveal our hearts to the deities. And that's what we should do. Since Gaur Purnima is coming up, we would like to speak something about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So in one section in Adi Lila, fourth chapter, Lord Chaitanya is saying, there was this thing about the form that is realized by the devotee in his heart, he should invite that form in the deity and then worship him. That's what the shloka today is mentioning, Vyapte Pinde. So here Lord Chaitanya is saying, Ama kete yeye bhakta bhaje jeyi bhave. Same mood. Ama ke jeye bhakta. Particular devotee worships me in whatever bhava. Then he says, Tare se bhave bhaji ei mora swabhave. So what is my mood? As you reveal yourself to me, as you worship me, I'll reciprocate with you in that way. And then he gives some examples of that. Mora putra, mora sakha, mora pranapati, ei bhave yei more kare shuddha bhakti. So somebody says, mora putra. Somebody says, mora pranapati, madhuryaras. Mora sakha, sakhyaras. Apana ke bada mane amare samahina. A devotee sometimes thinks in love, I am greater than Krishna, and thinks Krishna sama or hina, lower than him. Sei bhave hai ami tahara adhina. I reciprocate and I actually become lower than that person. And then he says, mata mora putra bhave karena bandhan atihina gyane kare lalana palan. Mata more putra bhave karena bandhan. My Yashoda, my mother, binds me. Putra bhave. Things that I am not her son. I am the Supreme Lord. But, yes, in that mood, she worships me. Ati hina gyane kare lalana palan. She takes care of my health. She says, Krishna, did you eat mud? And if you continue to eat mud, you will get diseased. How will Krishna get diseased? Sakha shuddha sakhya kare skandhe arohan. Tumi ko na bada loka tumi ama sama. Says, sometimes the gopas, they climb on Krishna's back. Skanda arohan, shoulders. Priya yadi mana kori karaye bharsan, vedastuti haite hare sei moraman. Priya, the gopis of Vrindavan, sometimes they chastise me. And that is more auspicious to my ears than the vedastuti. So many big brahmanas and the demigods, they speak a lot of stuti to me, but that is more relishable to me. So then Lord Chaitanya is now saying, Ei shuddha bhakta laya karimu avatar, kariba vividha vidha adbhuta vichar, vaikunta de nahi ye lilara prachar, se lila koriba yate mora chamatkar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling all of us, I am going to descend just for one reason, to teach you shuddha bhakti. How somebody with shuddha bhava can become greater than Krishna? So we are discussing in one program how the most well-known incarnations of the Supreme Lord in Manushya Leela, Nara Leela are Lord Ramchandra and Lord Krishna. So how did Lord Ramchandra give lessons to humanity? Lord Ramchandra gave lessons to humanity by enacting it himself. He is the ideal husband, he is the ideal brother, he is the ideal son, he is the ideal father and so on, ideal king. So how does Lord Ramchandra teach humanity? By his own example. But when you teach by your own example, there is a limitation to it. And the limitation is, only those who closely see you in action, those who closely see your ideal character, only they are affected by that. Those who don't see your ideal behavior, those who don't hear your very pure shuddha thoughts when you speak it, only they are affected by it. So how many people got affected by Lord Ramchandra's behavior? Those who were close to him. You see Lakshman's behavior. You see Bharat's behavior. You see Sita Devi's behavior. And to the extent to which they passed it on, some people who were connected to those who were connected to Lord Ramchandra, they also got affected. Urmila, the wife of Lakshman, she's so in service attitude. While Lakshman is in service attitude. So when Ramchandra is exiled and Lakshman says, I also want to leave. Urmila says, I'm so happy that you're leaving and I won't come with you. Now when Ram was exiled, was Sita also exiled? No. But Sita says, I'm your Ardhangini. I have to come with you. Why did not Urmila say that to Lakshman? So somebody would say, oh, it means Sita Devi is a very big Pativrata for Ramji. And Urmila does not have that kind of Pativrata nature. No, she is Pativrata. You know how she exhibits her Pativrataness? She exhibits her Pativrataness by saying, Ram is master. Yes, Swami. So Sita Devi is a servant. So Sita Devi goes with him to serve him. But what is the position, Swarupa, of Lakshman? He is a servant. So it means his duty is to serve Lord Ramchandra 24 hours. If I go with Lakshman for one vas to exhibit my Pativrata nature, will I not become an impediment in Lakshman's service to Ram? Because I am around and he loves me. He is also Patnivrata and I am Pativrata. So whenever he sees me, he will have a thought at least for some time. Oh, Urmila is also here. Have I taken care of Urmila or have I neglected Urmila? So whenever I come there in that exile, Lakshman's service and Lakshman's focus to Lord Ramchandra will be disturbed. So how does Sita Devi exhibit her Pativrataness? By following the master. And how do I exhibit my Pativrataness? Although Lakshman is my master, but Lakshman himself is a servant, I will not interfere, I will not be an impediment to Lakshman's service to Ram. So Urmila exhibits her Pativrataness by staying back. It's for me to tolerate my separation from you and it's for you to tolerate your separation from me. But both of us will serve Ram and Sita by not interfering with each other. So Urmila also rises to another level of purity. Yes? But in general, if you see, you know, that kind of purity, when we read the Ramayana, very few people can actually match up to the standard of purity. And in today's times, although Lord Ramchandra descended in this world to become Maryada Purushottam, he is not Leela Purushottam, he is Maryada Purushottam. Always setting the standards. What is the benchmark? Although he is a person who is consciously setting a benchmark in every word that he speaks, every action that he takes, every decision that he gives, Kali Yuga souls are so intelligent and so extraordinarily able to find some faults that in the character of Lord Ramchandra, in the activities of Lord Ramchandra, we have come up with so many faults. Why did Lord Ramchandra do this? Why did Lord Ramchandra do this? So then Lord Krishna understands when he comes next, Lord Ramchandra did not speak much. There are conversations, but he does not give many instructions. His instructions are his actions. That is how Lord Ramchandra teaches, which is very good. But Lord Krishna understands in the times to come, people will find faults because they want to find faults. They like this habit of finding faults, even in the character of Lord Ramchandra also. It means I just should not go to that tendency to just enact everything. I also have to give a method to people to purify themselves. So in Lord Ramchandra's pastime, what did I do? I was pure and I expected them to learn from my example. But in that example also they found out faults. So now let me give the Gita. Let me give instructions by which even an ordinary person will slowly rise. And that's why he creates illusion for Arjun. Although Arjun is very clear about what is right and what is wrong. Yes? So in one of the shlokas, I guess it is 2.16 or 2.15. No, it is 2.26 or 2.27. Lord Krishna is saying, just see here, sorry, 1.26 or 1.27. Just see Arjun, see the army. Pashyaitan, samavetan kurun iti. Uvacha partha pashyaitan, samavetan kurun iti. Krishna says, my dear Arjun, you wanted to see the army? Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapayam achyuta. Just see the army. And as soon as Arjun sees the army, but there are Krishna's words, there is fog that is created in his vision and he says, well, I see my fathers, I see my grandfathers, I see my teachers, I see my cousins, and then he gets bewildered and then Krishna gets an opportunity to raise him from that contaminated state to a pure state. But then all of us know that the Gita was not primarily meant for Arjun. He was used as an instrument to primarily give the Gita to all of us. So Krishna took out that limitation from Lord Ramchandra's pastimes that he just did not give his own wonderful example, but he gave us all a method to read the Gita and to slowly purify our heart and to become pure. Now, in that Gita, which Lord Krishna is giving to us with out of his boundless mercy, there are some sections where Lord Krishna teaches us the fine standard of pure devotional service. What is it? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji imam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyamte pratijani priyosi. Always remember me. Always offer obeisances to me. Whatever you do it as an offering to me. In this way, as a habit, you will come to me. I am speaking this as the truth. Then some people will say, ye thoda jyada hi shuddh nahi lag raha hai. This is too pure. And then Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja. Prabhu, ye kuch to dharm karne do humko. Adhikansha dharman parityaja. No, Krishna says, sarva. Dharma, the highest standard of pure devotional service is when you cross over the borders of even what is right to serve Krishna if it conflicts with Krishna's service. That's a very high standard. And that's why when people read the Gita, and whenever we have spoken on this, people say, Prabhuji, ye bahut hi jyada pure ho gaya. Ye thoda impractical nahi lag raha hai aapko? Matlab adharm ko tyag karke Bhagwan ki bhakti karna to hum pehle se sune hain, bachpan se sune hain. Lekin dharm ko tyag karke Bhagwan ki bhakti karna hai to wo jyada hi nahi ho gaya. So then, the limitation of Lord Ramchandra was taken out by Lord Krishna, and then the limitation, there's no limitation. The limitation is created by you and me. The limitation of Lord Krishna's pure bhakti teachings in the Gita is taken out by the next incarnation of Lord Krishna. So that same Krishna, seeing that some of the things that I spoke, people are rejecting on the grounds that it is impractical, then that Krishna takes another form. And to teach what is practical bhakti, keeping it pure, how will Krishna say that? How will Krishna demand it? You should practice pure bhakti. He is not like that. So he says, I will have to demonstrate how sarva dharman parityajya is doable. How remembering Krishna every moment is doable. And that Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on coming Monday we are celebrating Gaur Purnima, where we see the compassion of Krishna in removing the limitation of Lord Ramchandra, and we see the compassion of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in removing the small limitation from the Gita that it sounds impractical. And now that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Vaikunthade nahi ye leelara prachar, sese leela kariba yate mora chamatkar. I'll now tell you how Shuddha Bhakti is doable, and that's a big chamatkar. How can somebody remember Krishna 24 hours every moment? Is it doable? Is it doable? At least the Chaitanya Charitamrita says it is doable. How? When? That is something to be learnt. So I am sure on the Katha that happens during Gaur Purnima, we will all learn that art of how to practice pure bhakti. Ahetuki and apratihata. There was a question that was sent to me by one of the devotees some time back, where he mentioned, you know, there is a post going around, and this post mentions, just recently there was a flood in Kolhapur, and when that flood in Kolhapur happened, what happened to the Devi of Kolhapur? So many devotees in Maharashtra, they go to Kolhapur and they worship Mahalakshmi, yes, and they have a lot of faith in the deity. And this post that goes around, obviously there are people who are not really comfortable with deity worship. Why? Because deity worship is so all-encompassing. From the junior most devotee to the highest devotee, the mercy is available. So he's saying when the floods of Kolhapur happened, and the floods didn't happen in an area away from the Kolhapur temple, it also happened in the area next to Kolhapur temple. So there are videos where the flood water is just flowing like this, and the shopkeepers who are selling their garlands or some other items to be offered to the Devi inside the Kolhapur temple, they are also being swept away. So he's saying, in that post he's saying, ye Hindu log hai na, inko kamzor banne ki aadat hai. These people are habituated to becoming weak. Oh Hindus, please wake up. Please become strong. Please become self-reliant. Don't learn to be dependent on others. तो ये जो हिंदू संस्कृति है, इन्होंने लोगों को एक ही बात सिखाई है, आप दूसरे किसी के ऊपर निर्भर रहिए. This is how the top people in Vedic culture have created a culture of dependence. You cannot do much. You pray to the deity. You cannot do much. You learn the scriptures. So this is one way of controlling the masses, by always telling them that you are weak, you cannot do much, and you need prayers and you need blessings. And just see, the deity whom you are worshipping for protection, she herself was submerged in the floods. And she could not protect so many people in Kolhapur who were worshipping her for so many years. And then there was an example given of how in this temple this happened, in that temple this happened, some invaders from foreign countries came, and they have destroyed deities, and they have destroyed temples. What happened to the deity? Why did not the deity protect? Some years back I had received a video from one of the people who's against deity worship, and he's saying, I'm purposefully not mentioning names because we are not dealing with the names. We are not dealing with the person. We are dealing with the issue. We are dealing with this thought that is going on. We want to deal with that issue. So he was saying how one person was against deity worship. He was saying, this is a television interview happening on Marathi television channel. It's being broadcast. So this person is saying, oh, all you Warkaris, you come to Pandharpur every year. There's no advertisement, there's nothing going on, but so many Warkaris, you know, they just flood Pandharpur to worship Lord Vitthal. And this question is being asked to common masses, simple varkaris, Rama, Krishna, Hari. They are just interested in worshipping and chanting, following the Acharya, having faith in the Acharya. They are saying, this Vittal of yours, whom you worship, you want to take his darshan, can he dress himself? And the varkaris, they know. Anyone of you been to Pandharpur? Nobody. Sorry. So, that is one temple where the dressing of the deity happens in public view. Gopinath's dressing happens behind closed doors. We had been to Dakor some time back. In Dakor also, Ranchod Rai, that dressing happens in front of everyone. So, Pandharpur is one temple. If you go for the Kakad Aarti, 4:30 and you sit there, you have to line up for darshan at 1:30 in the morning and then you get inside. And you know, they actually feed makhan to Vittal and take it off, then they bathe him. So everyone can watch that dressing. So now all the varkaris, they know that Vittal cannot dress himself. The pujaris dress. So he's saying, can Vittal dress himself? And the varkaris looking at each other said, no. Says, somebody who cannot dress himself, how will he provide for you? And simple varkaris, you know, there's not many Bhagavatam classes happening. There is no JOSG seminar happening. But they have a lot of faith in Krishna. They have a lot of faith in Vittal. They have a lot of faith in Tukaram Maharaj. Yes? So, they can't answer that. Then he says, your Lord Vittal, can he eat himself? And now they know the pujaris offer an offering and then they request the Lord to eat and then he eats. So, all the varkaris looking at each other. This is happening in around the Pandharpur temple. Can you imagine the audacity of these people? And can you imagine our failure to spread the proper teachings amongst the masses? So, can the deity feed himself? And they look at each other and say, no, sorry, but deity cannot feed himself. So, say, if the deity cannot feed himself, how do you expect the deity to feed you? And when this television interview is going on, there are some people sitting there, and you can see the look on their eyes. Well, I never thought about that. Ye to kabhi socha hi nahi maine, kya logic hai ye to? And everyone is, you know, clapping for that thought. And this video was sent to me and I was asked, what is your opinion? So I replied, but part of some of the points that I replied, I want to present in front of you. Because this is about deity worship. So we have glorified deity worship. But we also need to smash the misconceptions and the attacks on deity worship. Without that, our class is incomplete. So I asked a question to that person. Do you respect Shivaji Maharaj? So of course, who in Maharashtra does not respect Shivaji Maharaj? I said, when Shivaji Maharaj would take a bath and when he would dress himself, would he dress himself? Does he go to a cupboard and take the clothes and then, you know, wear the clothes himself? He said, no, he has many servants. So, you know, kings, royal kings, they just stand there. Yes? And there are 10 servants there who say, we want to put on the kurta. So, you know, Maharaj does his hands like this and they slip the kurta on this shoulder. And then Maharaj will do like this and they slip that part of the kurta on this shoulder. Yes? And then he'll wear a dhoti. And if somebody knows how to wear a dhoti, you take that dhoti and you put it back, right? So obviously he does not do it. There's somebody who puts it, tucks it in. Yes? What about the dressing of the turban? Does Shivaji Maharaj, you know, spend 15 minutes trying a turban? No, he just stands there. Somebody takes a turban cloth and puts it and, you know, decorates it. What about the gems on the turban? Does he do all this? No, there is a servant for that. So he puts on the pieces here, right? And when Shivaji Maharaj wants to eat himself, does he go to the kitchen and bring a plate just to prove that he has power and so because he is powerful, he can bring his own plate and he can eat with his own hands? Is that the way? No, there are cooks who cook for him. There are people who bring the plate to him so that it is hot. If it is brought half an hour before, all the food becomes cold. So when he wants a chapati, the chapati comes fresh. When he wants a particular sabji, the fresh serving of that hot sabji comes to him. Why? Because this is meant for the pleasure of the king. Recently, one very important person from another country, he visited India. What all preparations happened for him? Yes, so there was a wall erected in Ahmedabad and the promise was that 10 lakh people or something were brought into a stadium just so that he feels valued. What if somebody from another country comes and there's nobody to receive him? It's an insult, right? So I was just thinking, so much money was spent just to give pleasure to one person. He's standing there and he gave a speech. I didn't watch that speech, but I guess it was 10, 15, half an hour, I don't know. He gave a speech, right? And for that speech, 10 lakh people or more than that probably were told that all of you should come to one stadium and, you know, just wave. When he waves, 10 lakh people are supposed to wave. You know why? That's how you value that person.
just for giving pleasure to a person who waves, 10 lakh people had to stand there and wave. I'm not against it. I'm just giving you this principle of valuing great people. Somebody who is respectable, ordinary people serve him. So, does Vitthal have to eat with his own hands to prove that he's running the whole show? The sun rises out of fear of Lord Vishnu. The moon rises out of fear of Lord Vishnu. The sea on the Chowpatty beach just next to our temple never ever crosses the limit of Chowpatty beach and never ever floods the Chowpatty temple. Why? Out of fear of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu says, this is your limit. You Athanga Sagar. In Marathi, whenever they talk about the ocean, there is an Athanga. Athanga means unlimited, depthless. Nobody can measure the water of the ocean, but this unlimited ocean, this depthless ocean has never ever crossed the limits of the Chowpatty beach. Why? The Supreme Lord has set a limit. So Supreme Lord is already running the whole show in unlimited universes. But just to prove to fools like these people, does he have to now, very explicitly eat with his own hands? Dekho, I am powerful. He has to dress himself just to prove to these fools. So this is how there is a conscious attack on deity worship. And all of us should understand that the fact that the deity has servants to serve him does not minimize his power, that actually increases his power. See, so many people are required to dress the deity. See, so many people are required to feed for the deity. And when the pujari is offering aarti, the pujari is basically representing the whole congregation. The pujari is not offering his own worship. When the pujari enters the altar, when the dresser enters the altar, he first offers namaskars to Shri Guru. And he says, my dear Guru Maharaj, you are so busy, there are so many responsibilities on you. You are a fit person to serve the deity. Why? Because you don't see the deity as a stone, you see the deity as a person, but you are so busy. So as a representative of yours, I will do aarti on your behalf. So whenever you come for aarti, those who don't know, you can see the photograph of everyone's spiritual master on the table. Why? It's always on behalf of the spiritual master. It's not that we are capable and we are qualified. We are on the behalf of the spiritual master. The fruits that we offer, the dal that we offer, the different rabdi and all the sweets that we offer, who sponsored it? The pujari, who's serving the aarti and made the offering before the aarti, did he provide? Somebody in the congregation has paid for the fruits. Somebody in the congregation has paid for flowers. When we offer a garland in the morning dressing, did we make the garland? There are devotees who paid for the flowers. The flowers were brought by somebody else. And there are matajis here who are stringing the garlands. Who are we? We are Nimitta. The garland that was purchased by somebody else, that was brought by somebody else, that was made by somebody else, we just put it around the neck. The dal, the rice, the ghee, the fire and all that, that was already sponsored by somebody else and it was put together by somebody else. We are the pujari, whoever he is, we are that fortunate person who gets to offer it to the deity. Yes? So the pujari is always doing it on behalf of the congregation and is always doing it on behalf of the Sri Guru, on behalf of his spiritual master. Can you imagine how wonderful is this opportunity to have deities? One deity is Radha Gopinatha standing there. How many people get engagement? There are 6 aartis throughout the day and there are some 6 or 7 offerings throughout the day. And how many matajis are engaged in making offerings for the deities? So if you count, I'm sure in the whole day, how many people are required to serve Radha Gopinath, including the people who make garlands, who bring flowers, who bring groceries and who make arrangements for everything and all that. I am sure it will be more than 100 people. So more than 100 people are getting service to engage their senses just because Radha Gopinath is standing there. And that is way how you purify your eyes. That is the way how you purify your nose. When you enter the temple hall, there's fragrance. This kind of fragrance that is offered, fragrance is not available to us. So flowers are not something new. But what about the flower festival that happens in Radha Gopinath? When those flowers that are first offered to Radha Gopinath, sponsored by somebody else, plucked by somebody else, showered by somebody else on Radha Gopinath, and when those Mahaprasad flowers come here, I have seen the look on the faces of devotees. It's a divine experience. Somebody is showering from there also. So Krishna usually, when he kills different demons, Vatsasur when he killed, demigod showered flowers. When Bakasur was killed, demigod showered flowers. And the gopas also around Krishna, they experience that flower showering. So ordinary devotees like you and me, when we come to the flower festival, we get a chance to participate in some moments of Krishna Leela. That the Mahaprasadam flowers that were mainly offered to the deities, the demigod somewhere here, or the pujaris behind Gopinath, they showered flowers on Gopinath, and those flowers also came on us. How many of you participated in Holi festival before you came to ISKCON? That's right. So it is some fun when water is sprayed and all that, but sometimes that Holi festival also gets an ugly side, yes? A lot of things happen in the guise of spraying water on each other. Come this Tuesday, coming Tuesday, 10th of March, you come to Lakshmi Narayan courtyard here, evening roughly 4-4:30. The small deities, Radha Gopishan Vallabh, are going to go there, and every year on the day after Gaur Purnima, there's a holy festival of Radha Gopishan Vallabh. So Radha Gopishan Vallabh are there, one pujari represents Radharani, one pujari represents Gopishan Vallabh, and on behalf of Radharani, he sprays on Gopishan Vallabh, and on behalf of Gopishan Vallabh, he sprays. I have seen the most, you know, purifying experience of Holi. So Holi was actually meant to be pure, but we are very good at spoiling it. Radha Gopinath Mandir and the congregation and the pujaris and the brahmacharis in the temple are offering anyone and everyone, please come on 10th of March, please don't miss this. Pure Holi. Pleasure of the deities, not of us. Yes. So there are so many things that are happening in this world just because we have Radha Gopinath here, and this wonderful opportunity is available for all of us. Have deities at your home under guidance. Take guidance of a senior devotee, raise yourself to that standard and invite deities, and just see how the deity overwhelms your consciousness. He just captures your consciousness. So when you get used to serving the deities in the morning when you wake up, you know, you don't look for the charger to charge your phone first. Right now the cell phone has overwhelmed our consciousness. Is my cell phone charged? The deity is that. So when you wake up, you say, oh, I got late 5 minutes and I have to prepare bhoga for the deity, breakfast for the deity. And when you come home from office in the evening, you say, I need to offer dinner to the deity and I got late because of my boss. I need to rush. Yes. Now we rush to watch the favorite TV show or something. So can you imagine the effect of deity worship? And that's why deities are so amazing. Deities are so good at elevating us and giving us darshan right from our neophyte stages to the highest stages that can be possible. So this few thoughts come to my mind when we are talking about deity worship and thinking that how there is a conscious attack on deity worship, but none of us should fall prey to that deity, the attacks on deity worship, and we have to actually stand up and represent the deity, process of deity worship, and to have that, we need to have an experience. Till we keep reading books and think, oh, deity worship is good. Okay, deity worship is good. No, do it yourself. Experience the sweetness. I can keep talking about how sugar is sweet, but you have not tasted sugar. You think, I don't know how sugar is. It seems it's good. The moment you put one crystal of sugar on the tongue, this is, so please experience deity worship. Have photographs, if not deities. But please offer regular aartis. Please make at least one offering in the day to the deities. And just feel the reciprocation of the deity. And then, all of us, when we receive posts, when we receive videos that condemn deity worship, we can give fitting replies in their logic, in their words, and tell them, don't be a fool. If you are a fool, keep it in your heart. You don't have to speak it out and reveal it to the whole world. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.